This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And to say today is a good morning would be an understatement. Today is a great morning, a beautiful day. Now, it's supposed to rain all day today and all day tomorrow, but it almost doesn't matter for what we saw last night. We have so much to do today. I don't even know how I participate in the morning roast at 6:45. I'll find a way, but I say good morning to my partner in crime, the great Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Not a good morning, Dave. It's a great morning, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I was dialed into that Rangers game. Dialed in. I mean, that's a must-win game, and good for them. They found a way to win that game. I didn't watch the rest of the Mets game till this morning when I woke up.
Really? So you you had no idea?
I had no idea because, again, I'm sitting there looking at the group text message chain, and we're talking about the Rangers, and you're like, this is too close. It should be like, I wish it was like the Mets. So you gave up on the Mets. You're done with the Mets.
You know what? Here's the thing. Because I'm just telling you this right now.
Disgust me.
If you do this, I'm going to roast you at 6:45.
Well, you got to roast somebody. You can't go another roast without a roast.
To go after me for thinking the Mets were done down 7-0 might be the dumbest thing anyone has ever said in the history of the spoken word.
I never had a doubt. Never a doubt in my mind.
Stop! Come on, stop it!
I could feel it. I could feel it.
Can we
percolating.
Please? Can we? Can we get along? It's a great day. It's a great morning. The Rangers with a phenomenal victory last night. Igor was incredible yet again. The Mets with one of the and I'm not exaggerating, one of the greatest wins in the history of the franchise. And you're going to come after me? Stop it! I'm not doing it. I'm not falling for your reindeer games. I'm in a great mood.
Now, you should be in a great mood. All I'm saying to the people, so the people know, because this is the kind of show that we do. I mean, we're an honest show, is that you quit. You gave up on the Mets.
Yeah, that's correct. And you find me the person that didn't give up on the Mets. You don't come back from down 7-0. That doesn't happen. That never happens. So, yes, I gave up on the Mets. And it was perfect, because I have the Rangers win. I mean, it's as if God, who does not like me at all, last night was like, you know what, Dave? Here's a bone. Because you have the Rangers with this win, the game ends, and then I turn the Mets game off, right? So then I look on my phone and I see it's 7-3 and Mark Canis coming up. I'm like 7-3 first, you know, all right, I'll throw it on to watch the end. Put it on, infield hit from Canna, then Dom Smith strikes out twice, and now I got two outs, game five, you know it fine. Tying runs at the plate, so at least there's some reason to have a little bit of excitement. J.D. Davis with a huge hit. Now it's 7-5. Then you get Nimmo that comes up. Oh, I mean, monster hit. Now it's 7-7. And now you have Marte doubles him in. It's 8-7. And then I'm thinking to myself, please, Diaz, please, please. And like he's been, flawless, brilliant Edwin Diaz. Boom, boom, boom. One of the great wins in franchise history. Good morning to you.
First time coming back from 6-plus runs last inning since 1997. Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm just enjoying the moment now because I just watched it. But, I mean, Starling Marte, I mean, really he had a big game. I mean, that's his biggest game as a Met.
That's his
so
calling
far.
Card game.
Well, I mean, yeah, and going into the ninth, and he ends up with an infield single to get that thing started. I mean, that Mets had four hits the entire game, and he had two of them. He had the home run, and then he had the infield single. So, I mean, they really had nothing going on. And then all of a sudden, and if I'm a Phillies fan today, I'm just it's gross. Just disgusting loss.
But isn't that what we said? Defensively, they're not very good, and their bullpen stinks.
Yeah. Those were some of the concerns about the Phillies, because they have. I mean, you look at that lineup, you say offensively they should be able to win games. And that's a game they should absolutely 100 times.
You can have a bad bullpen. You could have the worst bullpen in baseball. You could have the worst bullpen in baseball history. You shouldn't blow a 7-0 lead ever.
No. Especially the Mets weren't doing anything offensively the entire game. And I give their bullpen credit. I do, because Buck after the game was talking about, had the Phillies tacked on a couple more runs, he was finding, exit strategies for the guys just to make sure, let's get them off their feet. This game is over. But Shreve comes in and pitches really well. Medina comes in and pitches well and keeps it right there where they still feel like they could have a chance because they don't want to quit on the game. And then that ninth inning happens. I really thought, though, Dom Smith, because that 2-2 pitch was...
Which should have been strike three. Which
definitely been... yeah, exactly. So now it's 3-2. I'm like, okay, he's going to make him pay. Here he ends up striking out. But, J.D. Davis, humongous pinch hit double. He smashed that ball. And then Nimmo with the big hit, and then Marte comes through again. But I'll tell you what, as good as the comeback was offensively, you mentioned it. Diaz, his confidence level right now.
Through the roof. Well, that's what had me really nervous, because, like, you can't – because, again, down 7-0, the game is over, you're going to lose. But now you come back and take an 8-7 lead. Could you imagine how heartbroken you would have felt today if he went in there and gave up two runs in the bottom of the ninth?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be on the – it would be you, RJ, and Santi. I couldn't do it.
You would have tapped out?
I would have had to.
So you – what a treat. So you, what time did you wake up? So you watched the Rangers. You went to bed at, what, 9:45-ish then?
Close to 10, yeah.
Okay, close to – jeez. So you go to bed close to 10. And you woke up at what time?
2:15.
So alarm goes off 2:15. You're like, oh, God. But you, because you're a warrior, a trooper, a man of integrity, you pop out of bed, right?
And pop then out what, of bed,
you,
yep.
You go down to the gym, yes?
Correct.
Okay. And you start working out. Now, did you watch the Rangers again, or did you go right into the Mets?
No, I watched the third period of the Rangers again. Then I followed that up with the Mets.
So you pick the Mets game up. Let's walk through how this works. You pick the Mets game up where you left off. Do you just kind of fast forward? How are you watching? How are you consuming the Mets game from last night?
I'm consuming the Mets game. So I watched. So I had the Rangers game was what I was focused on. I had the Mets game on. So I went from where I stopped watching the Mets game. I record it and then picked it up this morning. And then I have the ability to fast forward through the commercials, which is nice.
All right, so you're fast-forwarding through the commercials. It's 7-0. It's 7-1. Fine, you get to the ninth inning. I mean, so you are, let's be fair, you're going through the motions. As a sports talk show host, as a fan of the team, it's 7-1, ninth inning. You're going through the motions is what you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, I'll just, you know, like, make this ninth inning quick. Let's go. Now I've seen it. I can talk about it. I can analyze it. Walker was bad. Lindor was not good in the field at all, and I'm done. At what point in the rewatch of the game, or for you, the first ever viewing, having no idea what was on the horizon, at what point were you like, this is interesting?
Oh, that's a good question. Because even after the Lindor home run, and he was up there, I mean, first pitch, fastball swinging, like he was
right,
but
7-3.
Yeah, he had been, he had been 0 for his last 18, I think. So he had been struggling offensively. I mean, you mentioned, the error, but I was like, okay, all right. We got something a little, things are starting to happen here a little bit. And then, Canna right up the middle off Knable. And then as he's going to pick the ball up and throw it, he slips. I'm like, okay, all right.
So it was 7-4 first and second. And then you were like, you know what? I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued. Well, that's there. They had what?
Tying run to the plate, right? Tying run to the plate. Now all of a sudden you're being dragged in now.
I'm fully aroused at that point. But, at one point they had five. I mean, the ninth inning, they had five hits on 13 pitches.
Correct.
So I'm like, okay. And then now you're right. Now it's starting, blood's flowing a little bit. I'm like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's finish this thing off.
Yep, because anytime the tying run comes to the plate, you're one home run away from tying the game, right?
That's
so now you're excited, yes. Dom Smith, that bat takes a lot away, and you figure that it's not going to happen. Even after J.D. Davis, and you had the tying run at second base. And by the way, I don't know if you feel like this. I think you do. I love Jankowski. I love that guy.
Well, how could you not?
Love that guy.
Well, this is the thing, though, Dave. When you play on teams, those are the guys, usually the guys like him, that you love. Like, the players love him because he knows his role and he excels at his role and doesn't say anything, like, doesn't complain. Like, he knows, this is why I'm here, and whenever I get an opportunity, you're going to get everything I got. Guys, I'm telling you, players in that locker room, I'm sure the players
in that
locker room.
I don't know how you couldn't. I don't know as a fan how you couldn't. I don't know as a teammate how you couldn't. I mean, all he wants to do is contribute, right? He's not a big ego. He's not demanding time. But when you give me time, I'm going to go out there. And you know what we never mentioned, by the way? How about, no, you know what? No. Now I have my roast. Now I have just on live radio stumbled on my roast. And I think it is a sensational one.
Top of the morning.
A sensational one. I wish I could tell you now, because I know that you will agree with me, but I'm going to now save it till 6:45 this morning.
I like that. So we're going with the hour and 35 minute tease. I like that.
And when you, because I know you know of it, and when you, and we never mentioned it, and that's a bad job by us. When we do, you'll be like, that's a roast. That is a phenomenal roast. So, yeah, long tease. But, I mean, I can't believe we got that from the Mets last night. That doesn't happen. Like you mentioned. So, I'm on ESPN Stats and Info on Twitter last night. Think about this for a second. The Mets in the last 25 seasons entering last night, when trailing by 6-plus runs. Did you see the stat? Entering the ninth inning. What their record was?
I didn't see what the record was. All I know is that's the first time.
What would you guess? What would you
get? It's not good. It's not good.
Well, of course it's not. Obviously it's not good. But how many times would you say they lost and how many times would you say they won heading into the ninth inning trailing by 6 or more runs?
Oh, I wouldn't even know where to start. I can tell you they probably have won, you say, in the last 25 years?
Yes. Last 25 years.
Well, I would say they haven't won any games in the last 25
years. Okay, so that's right. And how many losses would you say are on there?
I can't even imagine.
They were 0-330, trailing by 6 or more runs entering the ninth inning. 0-330. And I'll give you one bit more. All time in franchise history, trailing by 6 runs in the ninth inning or later, they were 3-863.
Yeah, so I mean those numbers, and today you're the Nugget guy, and I love it. It just shows you like how improbable last night's win was.
There was like a 1 in 300 chance to win that game.
No, so if you're the Phillies, you should never lose a game like that.
Ever.
Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow, man. That's a tough loss for the Phillies.
A grotesque loss. But I don't attack this from the Phillies standpoint. I don't care. That is meaningless to me, what happens to Philadelphia. What's meaningful to me is what happens to the Mets. And they had, I mean, this is not hyperbole. That's one of the great wins in franchise history. It absolutely is.
Well, it's early.
I'm not saying it's game 6 of 86. I'm not saying it's, you know, beating the Cubs in the NLCS. I'm not saying it's at that level. The magnitude of the game is not that level. I'm talking about purely based on the odds that you can come back and win that game to getting that victory, one of the great wins in franchise history.
Well, I'll tell you this, though, and this is, now I'm not going to fully agree with you just because I say, I mean, it's just early on in the season, but it is, I mean, it's one of those wins that, you know, after the game, you have your manager who's pretty, I mean, he's pretty buttoned up. Like, I mean, we're still so early on in the season. I mean, they played, you know, 28 games, like, of 162, but, I mean, you heard Buck after the game. Like, yeah, I mean, he insinuates, like, nights like this make you realize what it can be. Like, you know, we're sitting here as fans saying it feels different, and I think they're probably saying the same thing in the clubhouse. Right? Like, this feels like this has the potential to be a special kind of season because we play baseball the right way, we compete, and when you do those things consistently, good things usually happen. They do.
So they've played, what, not even a full month of baseball yet. We'll hear from Buck in just a moment. You mentioned his comments after the game. They've played not even a full month of baseball. They had an incredible comeback victory over the Cardinals and the most improbable comeback victory maybe you've seen in the last decade last night. Twice. So they have two of these wins in the first month of the season. That's what winning ball clubs do.
And
exactly.
A no-hitter. And
a no-hitter with 17 guys. Here's Buck Showalter after the game last night. He was asked, what was it like in that dugout during that game?
I was involved in too many other things going on to start cheerleading, but I sure felt like it. I could have, but then me, I'd had some pom-poms out, I can tell you. But I can't. I can't. There's too many things going on with Lugo. If we tie, I'll go ahead for some reason, Diaz, and making sure we had the pinch runners ready and knowing how we were going to flip it around to do the defense in the ninth inning.
Oh, just absolutely wonderful. See, he's saying he's got to be completely dialed in where everyone else can just be losing their minds over what's happening. When did you think, Buck, that comeback?
That's the difference, though, right? That's the difference between having a guy like Buck Showalter, who's an experienced manager, and maybe someone that hasn't done it before. Because sometimes guys like that, you get caught up in the moment, and you're not paying attention to all the other little things. Like, okay, you know, I got J.D. Davis pinch hitting, I got Jankowski pinch running. Like, now how's this going to look? Because there's going to be, or it feels like at least, we have to be ready. There'll be a bottom of the ninth, so I gotta figure out what I'm doing there.
I have to be prepared for that. Here is Buck, if you don't interrupt me again. When did you think the comeback could, in fact, happen last night?
Probably Lindor. You know, that's a testament to guys like him. You know, he's had a little couple of tough things that don't fit him normally, and he doesn't wall around in self-pity and pull the dirt in around him. He just keeps grinding and gives himself a chance. That's why you're glad he's on your side.
Well, maybe he was Lindor. I said
Lindor, too. Look at me and Buck.
But I was not.
This is what great coaches do. They think alike.
By the way, we're going to break in a second, RJ, before you yell. And I think you'll defend me, even though I don't know. You came right after me this morning on the Zoom call. Didn't Rick already say it was their first win, down six or more runs in the ninth? You just gave the same stat again. No, I gave that portion of it and added the 330 losses. Rick, not you, the guy that tweeted this to me. So pay attention.
No, I actually think you were the exclamation point. Like you expounded on my original nugget, which
That's
I thought was
do.
Great. You hammered
That's what
it
we
home.
Do. I'm like the turbo booster on your point.
You're like the dipping sauces, is what you were. I gave you the nugget.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Do you not want an iPad, or is that something that you would be privy to enjoy?
I don't have anything against the iPad.
I think I've now facilitated a marriage.
This feels very arranged, this marriage to me.
Some of these marriages
can work out.
Be arranged, and they can make it, though.
I actually think the percentages are higher, because what happens, I guess, with the arranged marriages...
We'll see naked ladies.
Well, yeah, you'll eventually see that, but you got to get to know the person first. The other stuff follows.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Just get naked. There's no
chance. Maybe you go with that. Let's get naked and see how this works out.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You hate to draw attention to something like this, but the timing of the show today, the accuracy of the breaks, joining the 6 o'clock hour at 6 o'clock. I mean, it all feels like it's happening. Do you think we could throw... I mean, you become difficult because you yammer on and on when I try to break, but do you think you could be great in breaking appropriately on time today?
Yep. I think we can. My only concern is that is the 6:45 segment, which seems to get away from us a little bit.
It's fair. You know what we should then try to do? Really make a concerted effort to start that a little earlier.
I would start that as soon as we came out of break. I mean, I love those segments.
You can't start it. I mean, don't be crazy. You're not a lunatic. You can't start that at 6:35.
I think we should start in observations way earlier, because I think RJ has a bunch of different stories that we don't get to.
Okay, but today. All right, you see, I'm going to need your focus today. I mean, I'm going to need you all in. And for you to be yammering about an observations, today is not an observations day. So bring that up next Thursday. But for right now, you know exactly what today is. It's the morning roast. So
top of the morning.
I think what we need to do is at like 6:44, hit it right there and have a good 12 minutes of morning roast.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think morning roast is one of the segments that people enjoy the most because they have a lot of their minds right now. It's Friday.
I spoke to someone very important at the station recently.
How do you say that name, by the way? Is it Hushka?
Very important. And they said, of all our features, the one that, I'll let you know, he likes the best. He said, nothing compares to Stump Rothenberg. He said, he just adores that segment.
I have no respect for whoever you talk to.
I am too smart.
He can't get enough. It's a phenomenal segment. It's never dry. It's never bland. He said it's incredible.
It's dead air. It's you thinking is what it is.
No, but people play along at home.
Oh, can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh. I can't talk about observations, which happens on a Thursday, but you can talk about Stump Rothenberg, which happens on a Wednesday.
Right. Now, that's a fair point that you bring up. You're right. We should focus on today. So when we get to 6:15, 6:14, break. 6:30, break. Right? Come back. 6:45, get right into top of the morning roast. Like, yes, we need to be very focused and clear today. And I want to know if that's something you think you can undertake or if that's too big for you.
I'm in. Okay. I can do it. Don't challenge me. I'll do it.
But this is, see, what you don't realize is the mental warfare I play. By challenging you, I'm going to make you do it. I'm going to make you greater. You're going to be the best version of you without even realizing it.
All right, listen, facilitate my greatness, all right?
So what I'll do, time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So last night, I don't remember the last time I had a night like that. That was phenomenal. Because I and you're right. You said I quit on the Mets. I don't know that it's quit when my team is down 7-0. I think that I and most would probably give up on that team. So I took the Mets out of the rotation. I'm all in on the Rangers. I get terribly anxious when Crosby scores the goal to make it 3-2. Then Pittsburgh comes out flying in the third period. Panarin with a very fortunate goal. You get the goal from Vetrano. It's 5-2. It's all singing and dancing and just, you know, adulation. No triple overtime last night at the Garden. So that's great. And then, as I'm about to walk the dogs, I check the phone, and all of a sudden the Mets are, well, 7-3. And Canna's coming up with two guys on. You know what? I will partake in that. Huge comeback. Last night, one of the great New York sports nights we've had in quite some time?
It was a nice night, yep.
Better than nice. That was sports night.
Okay, yeah, for you, because you're a Rangers fan. Yeah, I mean, as a Mets fan, it was awesome. Loved every second of it. And I appreciate the fact that the Rangers win. So it wasn't the greatest night ever for me. It was the Islanders that won and the Mets that won.
But yes, there are plenty of Rangers and Mets fans out there, right? I'm not the only person that exists rooting for those two teams.
No, I know.
All right. So if you're of that ilk, then you had one of the great sports nights you've had in a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a big time for New York sports right now with the baseball and what's happening with the Rangers.
It really is. Yankees, Rangers tonight, you get Cole on the mound. Mets, Phillies tonight, you get Scherzer on the mound. Rangers off tonight, and then they're back at it tomorrow night at 6:30 right here on 98.7 ESPN. We are in the midst of you can't take a night off, right? There are slower periods in sports. Like, let's be fair. February is a slower period in sports, right? It is.
Yeah, this is a heavy. Yeah, this is.
This
a
is a lot of lifting.
Yeah, this is a heavy period of sports.
Very heavy period. What? You're a child.
I can't help it.
Are we punting? you're a child. I work with a large child. All right, can we go to the calls?
I've been waiting. Save me. Save me. You're supposed to help me be great. Save me.
All right, Kenny and Whitestone. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Well, you just heard it, Kenny. We are doing splendidly this morning.
Okay, that's good. Hey, listen, how would you compare last night with 1986 Game 6 against the Red Sox, which was a bigger event for the organization?
Are you kidding? Like honestly, Like you have to be punking us here. Like, this is that's the dumbest question ever.
Well, I know one is a bigger moment.
So then what's your question?
Well, okay, I guess it was a dumb question.
No, no. What he asked you? What's the question? Not it's a dumb question. What was the question?
What's the bigger moment, Kenny?
Yeah, your reaction to it,
Kenny. Kenny, you came back historically in Game 6 of the World Series, or you won game like 28 of the regular season. You tell me, Kenny, what's the bigger moment?
The World Series, obviously. Okay.
Kenny, don't let him bully you, Kenny.
No.
I apologize for Dave. That was me. That felt me.
No. I'll go right. Kenny, goodbye. Hang up on Kenny. I'm done with Kenny. No. Don't give me this as a Dave thing. That question was obscene. obscene.
Well, it wasn't a great question, but I don't think you need to be that mean to Kenny.
I mean, why not call back and say, hey, Dave, who would you rather have a night with? Jennifer Aniston or Barbara Streisand? Let me think of that one.
Well, it depends on what you like.
No, it doesn't.
I'm intrigued.
There's only one right answer.
And maybe you get serenaded. Maybe you like someone to sing to you.
Then all of a sudden I'm going to have Peacock all over the place. I mean, you know what? Why, God forbid that RJ or Ray, you know, chime in and say, you know, that was an awful question.
It was a horrifying question, but I thought you were mean to him. I mean, he backpedaled quickly, though.
I was very mean, and I think I was necessarily mean.
So you think you changed, like, the course of his life now? He has a different outlook.
Is that what you thought? Like, he called, and you're like, all right, you're at 98.7, you're on DPH on Rothenberg. What would you like to talk about? Yeah, I'd like to ask, what was the more important, better victory? Game 6 of 86 or last night? And so, you're like, all right, we'll put you right on hold. We'll get right to you on the air, sir.
You know what? It had the desired effect. I just don't understand why poor Barbara Streisand had to catch strays here.
Yeah, so that's where I'm guilty. I may have said, all right, you hang tight. We're going to get to you really quick. Just stay ready, okay?
Wait, you knew that's where he was coming today?
Of course I did.
And see, you're a bad guy.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you why. Because you set me up to be the bad guy, where, in fact, that's what you wanted. You wanted that reaction, and now that you get that reaction, now I am all of a sudden the bad guy.
To be fair,
you're the bad guy.
You don't exactly make it difficult for him. It's pretty easy.
It's in his nature. All he has to do is set it up, and then he knows Dave's going to knock it down.
I think there were a lot of people watching that game. They turned the TV off. They're like, wow, that was game 6 all over again. I think a lot of people thought that.
They were screaming, it gets by Buckner.
Yeah.
You set me up for failure there.
No. I don't know about this whole Barbara Streisand take either. What if she's got some extra talents?
I think she's like 80.
Well, I'm not saying now. I mean, this is not like, who would you pick now? She is 80. Good call.
She's exactly 80?
She just turned 80 on April 24th.
I mean, I'm a genius, aren't I?
Yeah. We you tell us that every day.
Oh, I got pythons.
What? Where did that come from?
I got some good stuff I can say.
Oh,
I got pythons. I'm the father. I have a good big stuff. One.
Oh, my God.
You. All right, can we get back to the calls? People want to talk. And RJ, can you do me a favor? Can you scream better than that?
I thought he brought up some good points.
I think that was well screened. I think he got exactly what he wanted.
So you're playing me. So this is like a chess match for you. Sir, you just get right on hold. We'll get right to you because this call is going to go sideways. Who the hell are you?
You're a pawn, RJ. That's what you are. He's like the Kyrie of producers.
No,
you know what he is?
No.
You know what he is?
What?
You're verbal Quint. You're Kaiser Sose. I gave him. You see what I did? The verbal tip. You're Kaiser Sose.
Oh, I'm putting you in positions to succeed. You just don't see it yet.
He's the boss,
baby. Fred Astaire, baby!
Just be nice to the people.
I want to be. But I can call and say, what's a bigger moment, that or 86 game 6? You pantless freak.
You couldn't wait to jump down Kenny's throat.
Because he called with one of the dumbest points in the history of sports talk radio.
I'm sorry, Kenny.
It's Hot Take Johnny!
That was another good one, too.
Apologize for him.
And now I got Awful Take Rick.
I get Horrendous Take Rick. Yeah. Get that every once in a while. Boy, there's a lot of drops, huh?
Yeah, you're a machine, man.
There's a lot of drops. All right, let's get back to the calls. And you know what the good news? Whoever we take next, you can't be as bad as the prior caller. So you're in good shape. And let's set up Spike in St. Pete for greatness. Good morning, Spike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
That was some tape, that last one.
Spike, before we get into this, what do you consider the bigger game? Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals, 94, last night's Rangers win?
I got to think about that. Give me an hour.
Are you going to mock Kenny?
I'm ridiculous.
Exactly right. I'm going to mock. Okay, all right, Spike, what do you got?
Here's my deal. So I nod off last night, and I'm alone. My wife's away for a couple of weeks.
Like what, 5:30?
So anyway, about 10 o'clock, I nod off. I got to go to the bathroom, right? Nature calls. I leave the TV on. I come back. I'm looking at the Mets. There's guys all over the place. Then I flip back to the Rangers. I got DVR. Rangers win easy. I shut it off. It was like 4-2 or something. And then every hit is like in between two guys. Every single hit. And then they put it away, and I'm going, I think you said it earlier. I go, all right, come on, Diaz. Don't screw this up now. I just, something about him, I'm starting to get confident about him, but I go back to his first year with all the home runs. And I'm saying to myself, this team is so different with a different manager and a different spirit on it, but I'm not going to jump the shark yet because of last year. But I'm just, it's a thrilling day to be a New York fan on every sports front. But I got to ask you one question. Got to divert to basketball. Why are they delaying this game till Saturday? Is it TV? The second
it's gotta
game?
Got to be. Everything is financially based. Next to the call, Spike, right? So it has to be. But I don't understand, Rick. Why couldn't you have gone Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? Why couldn't you have had games last night?
Well, no. It's what were the games supposed to be? I mean, the games are on TNT, right?
Yes.
Okay. What was on TNT last night?
Hockey.
Yes. So ESPN. We have games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we have the prime times on Saturday and Sunday, and TNT get prime time on Thursday, Friday.
I will say this, though. It's awkward not to have teams going from Tuesday to...
I get it, but that's why. I just answered your question for you.
Ryan Hurley's telling me it's verbal kint, not verbal quint.
Oh, stop, please. Now all of a sudden he's up to criticize?
Yeah. That's
I'm telling you, the Barbara Streisand's got a lot to offer, man. I mean, she's got an EGOT.
80.
I'm not saying 80-year-old Barbara
Streisand doesn't bring something to the table. All I'm saying is it's a no-brainer, Aniston or Streisand.
But you got to say it's got to be in her prime, though. It's Streisand in her prime.
But Streisand in her prime against Aniston in her prime is not not a matchup she's looking
for. Well, but it's what you like. I wouldn't just totally dismiss Barbara Streisand. I think there could be someone out there.
Okay, so it's the Kenny.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you think it's that easy for like a John Winthrop?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. Like you could give him Jennifer Aniston in her prime, or somebody dressed up like
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, like Pluto, and he would take Pluto. Like, hey, who do you want to go out with, Goofy or Jennifer Aniston in her prime? Give me Goofy. I'll go Goofy.
Mickey style.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We are 9 minutes away because we are staying as timely and on the clock as humanly possible today. That means that in 9 minutes, we will start the morning roast. Why don't you explain and conjure up calls for said roast?
All right, so this is how the roast works. First, you got to pick up the phone. You got to call 1-800-919-3776.
Pick up.
And we're going to give you the opportunity here on a Friday to get whatever you have going on. Could be sports related, whatever it is, get it off your chest. You can vent. Doesn't matter. It could be you're complaining about, you know, the Mets, the Yankees, although I don't know why you'd be complaining about either of those teams. Whatever it is, the referees in the
well,
Rangers.
That's a good
series.
One.
Whatever you'd like to complain about.
In that series.
Well, you guys got some power plays. Relax.
Finally.
You call in and you get it off your chest. Feel good going into the weekend.
So it's almost like a cleansing.
Yeah, exercise the demons is what you want
to
do.
So is it fair to say it's a verbal colonic?
Yeah. I mean, you could call it that. It's exactly what you could call it.
You think you see the name of the segment changing in the future?
No.
So the morning roast has a catchy tune, but the verbal colonic also could be nice.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if that's what
could
we
be brought
call
to
it.
You by a like a spa.
Yeah,
or a urologist's office.
It could be. I mean, if they want to sell it that way, as long as they sell it, I would do it.
But really, I mean, the morning roast should be sponsored by like a coffee house.
Yeah, like Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, we should be talking about stuff. Whatever. What would you do if you were on a plane taxiing to your gate and somebody just decided to rip open the emergency exit and start walking onto the wing of the plane?
I'm on the ground.
Yeah, you're taxiing to the gate, and someone decides, you know what? I'm just going to rip this emergency exit door open and just start walking on the wing.
So I've landed, and I'm now done with my flight.
You're almost done.
I'd probably laugh.
You would laugh at that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I would be freaked out.
I think I'd be freaked out too, but I think I would find it comical. Now, were I 30,000 feet in the air and someone attempted to do that, now I got to take them down.
Oh yeah, now you got real issues.
Now I got to turn into Seagal and I got to attack that guy. What? No?
No, I think now I think if I had to pick someone to turn into, I think I would pick Steven Seagal too.
You like Seagal or Van Damme better?
Which I like both. I like both.
But which guy, if you had to choose one, would you choose?
I'd probably go Van Damme.
Over Seagal?
Well, just athletic ability, flexibility. I'm a big fan of the Kumite.
Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal.
Frank Dukes.
Wasn't Seagal like a legitimate agent of the government?
I don't know if he's a legitimate agent of the government.
I thought he was like CIA or something like
that. You think
FBI.
So?
I thought so.
I'll tell you what, he's hard to kill. I promise you that.
Oh, very hard to kill. That's a good movie.
Oh, terrific movie.
That's when they like shoot him 15 times and there's like a brother-in-law involved, right? There's a kid and he dies and Kelly LeBrock nurses him back to life, right? That's that one?
That's that one.
That's a good movie.
It's a terrific movie.
That really is a good movie. All right, so the morning roast is on the way. I have a great roast. 1-800-919-3776. Before we do that, we'll get to your calls on the Rangers and the Mets. Before we do that, I want to let you know about the glorious brand new ESPN New York app. You can take us everywhere you go on the ESPN New York app. Get all your favorite 98.7 ESPN radio shows and play-by-play streaming live. The all-new ESPN New York app available right now on the App Store and Google Play. And again, it's so simple. I mean, it's like a three-step process. Click on the App Store. Type in ESPN New York, download it, open it, use it. It is so simplistic. Even an idiot can use it, which is, I think, the slogan they came up with. It's so simple, even an idiot can use it.
Yep.
So last night, when was the, and you might not know off the top of your head, so I might be leading you down a path, which is unfair. And for that, I would apologize. When was the last night you had a night that was so exhilarating in New York sports? Do you have any recollection of that?
A night so exhilarating in New York sports.
I got into bed last night and I couldn't fall asleep. And typically it's because I'm downtrodden because of what's happened. Last night I was so excited. I put my head in the pillow and I was racing my mind, my heart. I couldn't slow it down.
I'll tell you this. I don't know if I can point to a specific night, but I can tell you as far as me being here for the last, I think 22 years.
That's a long time.
And fully like immersing myself in, you know, the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks. That run, and maybe because I'm friendly with Matt. That run to the World Series in 2015, just being like, just experiencing that, going to all those games was the most exhilarating time I've had as a New York sports fan.
Well, the one that I think if you're old enough to remember has to be the answer is 94 night with the, and it was every other night. I mean, it was the Knicks, it was the Rangers. They went from April all the way through, you know, middle to late June. Now the Rangers won, the Knicks of course lost in game 7, but that to me was just, that was like the nirvana of New York sports.
Yeah, that's pretty much just, you know, just living in Boston,
right?
You know, I mean, that's what it was like in Boston.
Well, think about that. So we've had some really tough times here in New York, right? You would agree lately?
Especially lately, yeah.
Think about what they have in Boston. The Bruins have won. The Red Sox have won. The Patriots, all they do is win.
Well, not only that, though, but I mean, you're talking about one of the most iconic comebacks in the history of, I mean, man, it's right up there in the history of sports with what the Red Sox did.
Oh, and I mean, they have the biggest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl and the biggest comeback in the history of Major League Baseball. Right?
Dude, I know. It's unbelievable, really. And now all of a sudden Tom Brady goes to Tampa and it's like
you got
the Bucs and you got the Lightning back-to-back.
How about your now I don't know if there's any consternation with you, but how about your Flames losing last night at home?
I know. It was a good game.
But is there any nerves or you're fine?
No, I'm fine. This is playoff hockey. It's playoff hockey. They both play good defensive styles. Ottinger was awesome for Dallas last night. It's another one of those games, man. I mean, the Rangers, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but I thought the Rangers did a much better job last night of getting bodies
guys to the net.
Well, yeah, and pucks to the net. Like, that's how you're going to score goals, man. These goalies are locked in. Defensively, teams are paying attention. So, I mean, the more traffic and pucks to the net, deflections, loose pucks, broken plays. And Kreider's so good at it. I mean, it's just, he makes it look effortless. Just buzzing through the slot.
He was much better in game two than he was in game one.
Well, and so was Panarin. Panarin was definitely better in game two. They had to be, though. They had to be. I mean, the sense of urgency had to be there because if you go down 0-2.
Right. So is there optimism is it fair to say you look at some of their key players and they didn't play great in game one? Can we say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they didn't play great in game one and they still went triple overtime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most importantly for you is that, I mean, one of the best players in the league is playing at his best, which is your goalie. That's the beauty of, I think that's what makes, part of what makes the NHL playoffs so special is that, you know, you're one of these teams that has, you know, a goalie that gets hot at the right time or just, I mean, it's a continuation for Shesterkin with how good
he
was during the
season.
He's
been like that all season long. Here is Gerard Gallant. How big was Igor down the stretch of the game last night?
Yeah, he made three or four real good saves in the third for sure, early on when it was 4-3, so that was huge for us because we came out and that was probably the worst 4 or 5 minutes we had in the whole game, so that was big.
It was terrible.
It was more than that, though. I mean, they carried the play for a good, I mean, almost half the period. They had the first 9 shots in that period, and good shots, good chances.
Yeah, the Rangers did not come, which is so weird.
No, it's not weird. It happens.
No.
It's not weird. It happens, man. I mean, you watch all these games. It's just that playoff hockey is all a bunch of ebbs and flows and how you deal with it.
But your backs are to the wall. You're in an absolute must-win game. You're leading by a goal, and you come out with that?
Well, no. Listen, I get what you're saying, but you know how we keep talking about, like, the experience? So, that's part of the experience of being through the playoffs. Is, you know, this is why, you know, Sidney Crosby has won 3 Stanley Cups and that this team has had that kind of success because they know, like, in that moment, all right, you know, as soon as we just got the momentum, we score, make it 3-2. Now, as soon as we step on the ice, we gotta keep it rolling. And then having a great goalie allows you to weather that storm. And then you get a fortunate bounce and it's, yep, you know, 4-2, everything's stabilized. And then Vetrano makes an awesome individual play and buries it. And then it's game over.
That's it. And now we are 1-1 heading back to Pittsburgh. All right, with plenty of time to spare, let's start the morning roast.
This is why I'm hot. Is the morning roast.
Time
top
for...
Morning, top of the morning. Top of the morning.
All right. That's adorable. Time for our morning roast brought to you by Jack Pocket. 1-800-919-3776. You want to involve yourself in the morning roast. Let's start out on the phones, and then we're coming to you, RJ, so get ready. Ricky Yonkers, you're on the morning roast.
All right, guys, good morning. My roast is for you guys and all the guys that's on the ESPN radio station. You guys have a great show. I consume it via radio and the beautiful ESPN New York app. But my roast is because you guys have the same guys on in different stations, like Ira and Spike, who come out and voice their opinions on popular topics almost on a daily basis. What about the regular guys who want to call in and voice their opinions?
Well, how about this? You know what? I think it's an erroneous roast. The phone lines are open to everyone.
You can't tell them how he feels. Don't you dare tell him how he feels.
I could tell him that it's not right. RJ, are you an elitist when it comes to the phone lines? Are only certain people allowed to get in on the phones?
No, we're an equal opportunist.
So anybody can call at any point during the week. Is that correct?
Oh, anybody can call. Sometimes things like this happen.
Hey, listen, how would you compare last night with 1986 Game 6 against the Red Sox?
It's a fair question.
You know what I'm just realizing in listening back to that? That was the Jerky Boys.
That was Saul Rosenberg.
That guy, yes, I have them. That's what he was. Listen to this again. This is the Jerky Boys.
Hey, listen, how would you compare last night with 1986 Game 6 against the Red Sox?
I'll take my shoes and my glasses
The sidecar.
What's the address? 187.
Oh, no, sir. Those guys are the absolute best. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Well, then I'll sue you. You'll
sue
me. Yes,
everybody.
For damages. All right, RJ, you are up on the morning roast.
Mine is simple. Phil Mickelson, if you're going to lose $40 million, which is your annual salary, even for someone like you, over the course of 4 years, you suck at gambling. You're awful. You should... at what point do you kind of have to question what direction your life is going
in? Well, RJ, maybe he has a problem.
He sucks at gambling. Because
that's the problem.
Here's, I guess, the real problem. Between 2010 and 2014, he was still making money. And directly following, so he goes cold, right? Call it a four-year cold streak where he loses $10 million a year. I believe he didn't win a tournament event from 14 to 17. So you follow up your 4 years of $10 million losses annually with no winning 4 years after that. And I guess that's why he stopped gambling.
How about that morning, Rose? He's going right after
Phil
Mickelson.
Nasty.
The guy bought a T-Rex skull for $10 million.
No.
He's got money to burn.
Did he really? Well, don't stop. The Rock has a T-Rex skull. Saw that.
Yeah, but the Rock
the
probably
Rock
made...
doesn't have a problem. Though.
Yeah, I think it was a
the
replica,
Rock's not $46 million in debt.
There was a bunch of stories about that, though.
How do you run up that kind of debt gambling?
Well, this is what happens.
$40 million?
This is what happens.
How do you even keep track of who you owe? You have, like, a long notepad?
They call you. I'm sure they send you letters when you have deep in the hole.
I'm sure what you owe.
Exactly. You don't keep track of who right. you owe. They keep track
well,
of you.
I'm telling you, I read the John Daly book, which is actually a good book. And he was saying that when he went to Vegas, and he played slots, like expensive slots, which I know your favorite. So he'd go to one casino, he'd get a $600,000 marker, and then he'd lose the $600,000. Then he'd go to another casino, get another $600,000 marker. He said, John Daly said, up and down, won and lost. He was like close to, I think he said, $60 million.
In how long of a period?
Gambling. Like just the course of his gambling, when he was gambling heavy like that.
That's so much money.
Well, I think he was playing, like, I want to say, I could be wrong.
Like $10,000
slots? Like $5,000
slots,
like $5,000 a pull.
But it's mindless.
It's what he liked.
Oh, God. All right, let's continue along. Let's go to Enzo in Westchester. Good morning, Enzo.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. First time caller. Love you guys, man. You guys are awesome. Big Ranger fan. Was at game two last night. Game one, I mean, that goal is called all year round. That's a tough call on the refs. I believe they messed up, and they deserve to not referee again in this series. Yesterday, a little cross-check. I believe he didn't even touch him. And they called that penalty on Strom. I believe on Marino. That's a big power play there. They score. The game changes. Now you got to play from the back on a must-win game.
So the referees,
and then Marino
Enzo, that's your issue, right? The referees
in the 100%.
Series?
The referees. Yeah. 100%. They could make the difference in the whole series.
There was a time. Thanks for the call, Enzo. There was a time, Rick, last night at one point that the Rangers had one power play in the series and Pittsburgh had six.
Yeah, they had six straight. Pittsburgh had six straight. Then finally, Rangers get a power play. And they make it count.
Raymond, why don't you go ahead on the morning roast?
I feel this one's kind of contrived on my part, so I'm going to apologize.
Don't have a good roast, don't force it.
Listen, I appreciate the Yankees showing up last night. Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, DJ LeMahieu. I appreciate that they all went for the chug when they showed up on Garden Vision, and I think that's where the game really turned around. Aaron Judge, face of the team, and who I hope that does get a contract extension here, kind of expected a little bit more of him in his chug game. He got really outpaced by the other two, so... Next time he comes to the Garden, I hope he gets a chance to redeem himself.
That was not a good chugging of that beer by Aaron Judge last night.
Rizzo did a good job, though, I thought.
He did, and LeMahieu was fine, too. But
well, LeMahieu was already like almost three quarters done.
Although LeMahieu has this look on his face like he, I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the case, but he looks like he'd rather be anywhere else in the world than doing what he's doing at any given time.
LeMahieu to me, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, if you guys have buddies like this, seems like the guy who's really quiet, and then all of a sudden you take him out.
He goes bananas.
Yes, yes.
He turns into like a savage animal.
He's the animal, yep.
Yep. All right, are you ready for my roast, which I told you I had it at 5:15 this morning?
I'm not even lying. I've been thinking about it since you said it.
Do you have any idea where I'm going to go?
No idea.
All right. How about I'm going to give you little snippets of clues. Ready? And tell me when you get it. Like the password is 9 years in the minor leagues. Any idea?
9 years in the minor leagues. Nope. Continue.
General fatigue.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about.
I mean, are you okay? So Travis DeMeritt is finally getting his chance with the Atlanta Braves. He spent 9 years toiling around in minor league baseball. He gets called up by Atlanta. He's now their starting right fielder. They have two games on Tuesday against the Braves. He plays in 18 innings. They ask him, "We need you to play right field on Wednesday in a day game." He's going to, but he can't. Why? He was fatigued. He was too tired and couldn't go out there and play. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's one of those ones where you ask and you're not really, you're just looking for the player to say, "Yeah, no, I'm good. I can play."
Are you, what an embarrassment.
You're mentally weak.
That's a good roast, right?
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
That's an embarrassment. So I don't know why people always have to roast me, but fine. Steve in the car.
You have the most meat.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yes,
what do you got?
Yes, good morning. I'm calling more as a concerned citizen because there are six common traits of serial killers, and the other five are kind of normal, but there was just one that was glaring that just made me concerned, that they have an affinity for rye bread. There's something about serial killers and the fact that they love rye bread.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So I don't necessarily know that that's a roast, but I do love rye bread, and ipso facto, Steve and Rick, maybe I have some skeletons or something even more in the closet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are the one of the us on the show that enjoys the serial killer documentaries.
I love it. Actually, there's a new one on John Wayne Gacy that I'm going to partake with very, very soon.
Now,
all right, what do you
it?
Got for your morning roast? Go.
RJ, by the way, used to kill cereal. I had to get him. I got him a cereal bowl because he loves cereal that much.
I heard about that. Spelled differently. But go ahead. What do you got? What's your morning roast?
All right. So I was going to bring this up. Remember when I did KJM? I jumped on KJM.
Yeah, the
so
other
we
day,
were talking.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
at
so we were talking.
10.
Yeah, we were talking hockey. So I figured I'd get mostly hockey questions, and then they give me a Jets question, and the question was based on, I forget his name, and I'm trying to remember, but I can't. But the genesis of the question was that someone with PFF tweeted that the Jets had a bad draft because they shouldn't have taken Breece Hall in the second round. They should have drafted Malik Willis.
I don't even know what to say to that.
How do you tweet? Like, how do you press send and think, you know what, this is a smart tweet?
No, it's an awful tweet. You have your quarterback of the future. You don't need a backup quarterback. What are you doing?
Why would you ever do? Why would you? And that's a high premium second round pick.
Yeah, where you got? I mean, the elite running back in the draft.
A guy that you were targeting.
Hot take, Johnny.
It's not even a hot take.
It's a dumb take.
It's a horrendous. I couldn't imagine like writing that down and be like, you know, this is really smart. The Jets definitely should have taken Malik Willis.
No, it's an awful take. It's an embarrassment. That was a nice roast.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So I am perusing through Netflix yesterday late afternoon looking for something to watch. And they
we'll
have
see
a
naked ladies.
No, wasn't
what,
about
what
that.
A life, what a life you live.
Like you can't watch shows?
Oh, what a life. When do I have time to peruse
Netflix? It's Netflix and chill.
You know what? Stop giving me a hard time. Really?
All right. You piqued my interest. What did you see on Netflix?
So they have, it's called The Perfect Bid.
Ooh.
The contestant who knew too much on The Price is Right.
And this is like a, documentary or something?
It's a documentary. And I watched like the first 15 minutes.
So what, did he rig the game?
You'll have to watch and find out. But I just thought for you, Santiago, a man that understands the game to that level, this is absolutely something you should.
This guy sucks.
The perfect bid. The contestant who knew too much.
I'm actually interested in watching that now.
Yeah, see, this is what I do. I provide great ideas for you.
You should provide. This could be a service that you provide for people. You just like peruse Netflix and all these different apps now that you have on your TV and suggest shows to people.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll start a separate Twitter with just, you know, recommendations of what you can watch.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
I get some
and
time.
It's not long either, which I like. It's an hour and 12 minutes.
What's a finish bid, Ozark?
I haven't started that yet. The perfect bid, the contestant who knew too much.
Perfect bid.
Yep.
Got it.
Contestant who knew too much. All right. So, Kyrie Irving. Here's my advice. We'll hear from what he says in just a moment. I wish he would stop talking. I really do.
Well,
I
he can't.
But why? He needs to hear himself talk?
Well, no, I think he likes the attention. He can say what he wants. I think he, well, why else would you keep doing it? Like why else? Like, if you were someone that didn't want to be talked about or be the center of attention, then there's plenty of ways to do that.
Well, you just walk away, right? You quietly go away.
I mean, you got swept. Go on vacation. Like, what are you doing?
Right. So he says he doesn't want the attention. He doesn't want the smoke. He doesn't want to be the center of conversation, yet he can't be quiet, and it always gets drawn back to him. He was on the boardroom, and we will react to this. Here is Kyrie Irving on dealing with the vaccine issue.
I was not expecting, you know, a mandate to be brought down in a way that it wasn't going to allow me to play at all. Like, you know, I had the opportunity to play away games still, but there was no plan in place. There was no vision of like how it's going to work for our team. And I think that really impacted not just me, but a lot of people. Yeah. So, you know, just had to sit in that hot seat for a little bit and deal with it, man. Life of a martyr, bro.
Do you think he knows what a martyr is?
I would, but with that sound, I would suggest that he probably doesn't.
Can I give you the definition of martyr?
Yeah, I would. I think people need to hear it. Yeah,
a person who is killed because of their religious or other beliefs. That's a martyr.
In his mind, his season, the Nets season, was killed because of the mandate. I'll tell you what. Everyone's focused on the martyr part of that. I'm more focused on what he said about the Nets. There was no clear vision as to what we were going to do.
What does that even mean?
They're just taking shots at the Nets. Like, they didn't know.
Over backwards for this guy.
Well, they knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to make sure that, you know, we're not going to have a part-time player, so you're not going to play at all. And then they caved, which has only further empowered Kyrie in the organization.
Making him have now all, he and Kevin Durant continue to have all the power. What drives me insane with this guy is if you don't want to be the center of discussion, stop talking. You're now in your off season. Be quiet. Go away. You're right. Go on vacation. Stop sitting down and going on boardroom conversations. If you really, truly don't want us to discuss you, stop talking.
Yeah, I don't know why, Nick, I don't know why he continues to put himself in the crosshairs like this.
Because you know why? He loves the attention. He loves it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Do you want this kind of negative attention? Like, I don't, like, there was nothing by going on that podcast and saying what he just said. Which, I don't know what's going on in his mind because I'm not at his level. Like, I mean, he's at a much higher level than me. But the way that sounded to me is taking direct shots at the Nets. And it was more like it was their fault because they had no vision, you know, how this was going to work, as opposed to, you know, me deciding that I was going to use this opportunity to be a voice for the voiceless, which I never really did. Because the second the mandate was lifted.
So what, he wanted the Nets to have some master plan that he could now follow that, like a roadmap?
Or how he's going to be incorporated, you know, play road games, and
but they did everything he wanted. He wasn't allowed to play. They weren't gonna let him up from that. That was gonna be the way it was gonna be. And then it got desperate, so they decided you can play in the road games. Like, what did he want them to do? Stand by? I'm sorry, you're not allowed to play at all?
Well, I guess part of that, too, is you're only playing that clip, though. He also goes on to say, too, that he didn't know what was going to happen. Was he going to get traded? Was he going to get released? Come on.
He thought he was going to get released.
Yeah, come on. You're not going to get released.
No, and no one would trade for this guy.
No, he knows. He knows.
He thinks this is wonder. He loves this. This is, I mean, I think he thrives off of this.
Well, yeah, I don't know why. I mean, and then, and you, I mean, and then to be sensitive when people, I mean, people come out and tell you how they feel. Well, you just don't get it. Oh, okay, well, I mean, the more you talk, the more people are going to talk about what you're saying.
And the more you talk, the more ridiculous you sound.
I don't, like, as a Nets fan, I don't know how Nets fans feel about this, but I can't imagine that with the amount of power Kevin Durant has, having signed his extension and everything else, that they're going to move off of Kyrie. So, I mean, you're signing up for probably, I mean, people can say what they want. What, another 5 years of this?
I'll say this has a chance to get really awful if they don't wind up starting to win. I mean, really, really, really bad. Because at some point, Kevin Durant's going to get old.
Well, I mean, you just, between him coming back from the Achilles, you know, last year having, you know, Kyrie get hurt, Harden hurt his hamstring, KD wearing shoes that are size too big because they're more comfortable, and now being swept this year in the first round. I mean, that's 3 prime years for KD.
3 years. And he's what? He's 33? He'll be 34 by the start of the season? Is that accurate?
That's correct.
So that's not a young guy. And he's got a lot of mileage, and he's had a torn Achilles, which is a major injury.
Well, and he's a slight guy, too.
Right. And you saw, I mean, he was manhandled in that series against Boston.
Yeah, that's as uncomfortable and discombobulated as
but
I've ever seen.
Let me ask you that. Like, if you're a coach in this league, is that not the blueprint you're working with to try to defend and slow down Kevin Durant?
Well, yeah, it can be your blueprint, but I mean, do you have the players that can?
You may not, but I'll tell you what, this guy's gonna be, every time he goes to the rim, every time he tries to run off a screen, he's gonna get hit every single time. You know why? Because it took him off his game in this series.
Well, yeah, you're just gonna run bodies at him. But I think I would imagine, because they're so deep into this now, and they're talking about how we gotta regain control. No, yeah, there's no chance that's happening. You're not regaining any control.
No, you've never had control, and you have less than you've ever had right now.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what the years are going to be, depending on if he opts out or, you know, whatever. I mean, right now, if he opted out of his player option, which is, you know, for 36 and a half, he'd be eligible for 5 years and 246.
If you go back right now, would you do that trade again if you were Brooklyn or Philadelphia? Like, do you look at,
well,
either
they're both
of those
in
teams
tough spots,
having remotely won that trade?
Well, no, I think I would feel better about it probably if I was Brooklyn than I would right now if I was Philly. Just because, I mean, just the way James Harden looks, like, I don't know if he looks
old
playing
and slow
hurt
all of a sudden, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks like, you know, how he lives off of the court. Which is fine. I mean, that's his choice. But I mean, if you're gonna go out and party and do all the things you got to do, you got to take care of yourself too. And I don't know if he's done a good enough job, because it looks like he's lost a bit of.
And they're gonna have to give him a massive deal too.
Well, that's the problem, though. That's at least with Ben Simmons, you know, you have the back taken care of. We'll see if he can work on the mental stuff. But he's still a young guy. You know, has a lot of his career ahead of him. I mean, you're talking about James Harden already looks like he's fallen off a cliff, and giving him, you know, a max extension.
You have no choice. You got to. You absolutely have to. Let's go to
Robin. Really, though?
You don't think you have to?
Well, I'm sure Daryl Morey is going to pound the table because he's the one that wanted him there.
Morey loves him.
Dave, it's a 4-year, $223 million extension.
But what would you do? Just say we're done with you?
Well, I don't know. Do you look at the fact that, I mean, Tyrese Maxey is kind of taking that next step, and you say we'll go with, you know, we have Maxey and Bede, and then we'll try to
sign someone else? Maybe. I don't know. I don't envision.
If James Harden signed the 4-year extension, it would keep him on
the 37
through 2026 at $260 million.
Ugh, what an awful deal that would be.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.